Hear the word of God. Today's reading can be found on page 976 in the New Testament. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Page 976, Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us, who believe according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. Thanks be to God for the reading from his word.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me start with a sentence you won't often hear. Yesterday, the General Assembly did a wonderful thing, a truly significant and exciting thing. In 13 attendances as a commissioner at General Assemblies, the most significant and wonderful section of a deliverance that has yet been approved. General Assembly issue a call to the Church of Scotland to pray. A call to pray that God will do a fresh work among us. That as God's people, presbyteries, Kirk Sessions and congregations will respond to this call to pray, that God's mission will be achieved and enlivened and encouraged among us, that the people of Scotland will be engaged with the gospel and encouraged to know more of Jesus. All over this nation, part of what I do through my service with the Evangelical Alliance is to hear about what's happening all across the nation, all across Scotland, in different towns and cities and communities. People are gathering together to pray. It seems as though at this time, the Holy Spirit of God is encouraging the people of Scotland to pray. And here the General Assembly are instructing us to set our sails to catch the wind of the Spirit and be blown along by him. Who would have thought that last summer when the Lord was laying it on my heart to have this whole year given over to teach us to pray, that during that same year, a committee of the General Assembly would hear God calling them to issue a call to prayer. When we consider what it is we need as the church, the first thing we need is to pray. I've got a friend, it might not be a surprise, I've got a friend who decided to take up running. What do you think you need if you're going to take up running? You might need some good shoes. You might need some good equipment, some gloves if you're going to run in Scotland. You might need all sorts of high-tech kit to measure how far you've run so that you can record all these things. There's all sorts of things you'd need if you're going to start running. My friend bought a magazine. So far as I know, that is the extent of his engagement with running. I don't run. But it does seem to me that the only thing you need to do if you're going to run is run. Just get out there and start doing it. Don't bother about the magazine. Just go and run. What do we need to strengthen our lives as a congregation of Christ's church? What is the first thing we need? Another book, another strategy, another committee, more money? We don't need any of these things. The first thing we need is to pray. The number one thing that the church needs is prayer. The number two thing that the church needs is prayer. The number three thing, you've guessed it, is prayer. There is no substitute for praying. We don't really need to wait for the General Assembly to tell us to pray, although it's really encouraging when they do. We just need to pray. We need to pray for the church. That's our theme today. Praying for one another. Praying for the church. In the verses before us from the end of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul doesn't pray for the world, although the world needs our prayers. Paul doesn't pray for governors or princes, although as we see in the newspapers every day, governors and princes really need our prayers. But Paul prays for the church. He prays for his fellow Christians. Do not doubt that we are to pray for the church. Do not be surprised that God calls us in the scripture to pray for one another. This is God's will for our praying. This is the first thing the church needs, that we should pray and that we should pray for the church. Paul writes for this reason, and in verse 15 there, he introduces two descriptions of the church, two descriptions of Christian people. Paul is praying for those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are lots of people we want to pray for, lots of people who need our prayers, and not all of them will have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them will not yet be Christian. But we do not want to forget to pray for those who are Christian, for those who do have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having faith does not remove the need we have for others to pray for us. Paul also prays for this reason of your love for the saints. Paul is praying because he has heard reports that these Christian people love one another. Now, he's not praying because this Christian or that Christian love one another. Lord, you owe them. They deserve something from you. He's not praying like that at all. What he's saying here is, this is how you describe Christian people, those who love one another. In any community, the Christian people should stand out as being those who love one another. We do not earn anything from God because we love one another. We do not deserve something from Him because we love one another. We love one another because God has first loved us in Jesus. Because Jesus has died for each one of us. Because we have all received the one and the same Spirit. We love one another because we are family. We are family together. What does the world say about us? It says we're boring. We're out of date. We're old-fashioned. We're judgmental and hypocritical and bigots and just to be ignored. We know that. We know that. Just in passing. Why do we not agree together to change that script? Why don't we agree together that we are going to so love one another that the world outside will say of us, look how these Christians love one another. So from these two phrases in verse 15, we learn that Paul is going to pray for the church. He's going to pray for his fellow Christian believers. He's going to pray for those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who love one another. When next we make time for prayer and we want to pray for one another and we want to pray for the church, we can remember that that's what Paul's doing in these verses. And the verses that follow can become a model for our praying. Paul writes, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering or making mention of you in my prayers. Are we faithful in giving thanks for one another? I think this really isn't easy when we live together in a congregation. Because you know what? We annoy one another. We irritate one another. We are too traditional or too modern or too different or too this or too that, or it just doesn't suit me. And by now, you're all thinking of someone who irritates you. Someone you find challenging, if not downright awkward. But we are to give thanks for one another. Other people bring to the congregation spiritual gifts that we don't have. Other people bring to the congregation spiritual insights that we don't yet share. Even those opinions or ideas that we disagree with, we should learn to give thanks for them because we can discuss them. And in Jesus, we can grow through that discussion. God has graciously given us to one another. When we pray for the church, when we pray for our congregation, we should give thanks for one another. Paul says, I do not cease to remember. Sounds a bit like that prayer the young child has. You know, God bless mummy, God bless daddy. Oh, I've remembered, God bless my sister or my brother or whatever it is. It's not really that. The word could be make mention of. I do not cease to make mention of you in my prayers. How are we doing with that? Do we ask one another, is there something I can pray for this week so that I can make mention of you in my prayers? Do we share concerns or prayer requests that we have with others? I'd really appreciate it if you could remember to pray for me this week. Do we take an appropriate interest in one another so that we might learn about one another's life enough to know what it is that we should make mention of when we pray? If we don't pray for the church, no one else will. If we don't give thanks for one another, how are we going to learn to love one another? How are we going to live together as the family of God? We are called to pray for the church. It's time for us to start praying. Often Christians say to me, I don't know what to pray for. Well, read these verses, and Paul will teach us what to pray for the church. Look at verse 17 into verse 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. We are to pray for one another that we might know God. That doesn't sound very exciting. I already know God. You know God as well as you could? You don't think there's more that you could know about God? Just a small point. We can't simply use the word God and assume that others know what we mean. When we speak of the knowledge of God, we mean the God that Paul has written about already in chapter 1 in Ephesians. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The one true living God revealed in the Bible. The only God there is. That's who we mean. We want to grow in knowing him. We are to pray that this God might give to each one of us his Spirit. Not a human spirit stirred up within us to learn of God, but the Holy Spirit poured down upon us. who makes alive in us faith and hope and love. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation, not exactly the same thing, but they go closely together. By wisdom in the Bible, we mean something like knowing how to live properly in a right relationship with God. That's what wisdom is, knowing how to live together with God. This can only be done as we receive revelation from God of who He is and how He wants us to live. Our lives as Christian disciples are to be lived in the presence of God. Our lives are to be filled with the knowledge of God. And these should be the themes for our praying for one another, that we would know God more. As we pray for one another, let's pray that we will grow in knowing that God is the one who hears our prayers. Often I think people are hesitant to pray because we're not confident that God hears us. Psalm 94 says, "Understand, O dullest of peoples, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see?" Do you really think God made our ears and is unable to hear our prayers? We should pray for one another, knowing that God hears us. He will heed and hear our faintest cry. Yes, He will heed our prayers. With God, hearing includes answering. When God revealed to Moses that He had heard His people's cry, He didn't mean that He was sitting on His comfortable throne somewhere and the cry of the slaves from Egypt came up and was disturbing His television. What He meant was, "I've heard their cry and I'm going to do something about it." Hearing includes action with God. God has revealed Himself to be the one who hears and answers our prayers. And so we are to pray for one another for the knowledge of this God, that we might grow in confidence that God hears us when we pray and God answers us when we pray. In this, our praying will be strengthened, don't you think? The renewing and strengthening of our prayers for one another in our congregation will result in the renewing and strengthening of our own prayers as Christian disciples. Praying for one another that we would grow in the knowledge of God is praying that we will be strengthened to live in the knowledge of God. How do we pray for the church? This is how we pray, that we would all grow in knowing our great God. Look on at verse 18. "That you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the word of His great might." We are to pray that we might know the hope which we share as Christians. And once again, you might be thinking, well, that's not very exciting. Praying that we might hope. I was hoping there might be something more than that. More useful than hope. The next time you're out, look at the people passing by in the street. Look at their eyes. How many are tired and weary? Look at their shoulders. How many are slouched over and weighed down? Look at the way they're walking. How many are just shuffling along? Our world needs hope. We need hope. And we are to pray for one another that we would know the hope we have in Jesus. Hope is set before us. Hope is about the future. We don't hope for something we already have. Hope enters into. Hope takes us beyond into what's coming next, an already certain future in Jesus. As Christians, hope connects us to the future that God has already prepared for us. The future we today are journeying towards in Jesus our Savior. Our lives today will be strengthened as we grow in knowing more clearly the hope which is set before us. In verse 18, we read of that hope in the riches of His glorious inheritance. As children of our Father, we are set to inherit from him a glorious inheritance of joy and peace in his presence. Our future is not one of want or of lack or of poverty, but of all the riches of God in Christ for us. Our future, our inheritance, is nothing less than the eternal presence of God. Do we know this? Is this hope made sure in our lives? Pray that it will be more and more each day. Paul most often describes the power of God as that by which God raised Jesus from the dead. He does so here in verse 20. Verses 21 and 22 and 23 take us into the ascension and the glorification of Christ. The power of God has lifted Jesus up from the dead, lifted him up to the right hand of the throne of glory, crowned him with honor above all, given him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Do you know this immeasurable greatness? Do you know this power of God that raised Jesus from the dead at work in your life? Is this hope based upon this mighty power of God growing in you? Do you trust in God's power? Not a power here which is only for some time in our future, but a power which is breaking into our lives and our experience today. Don't you know that every morning you wake up and find that you are still Christian, that you still believe the gospel, God has been at work? You didn't do that. You didn't make yourself keep being Christian. God did that. His mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead has taken hold of you. We need to know more of God's power in our lives. We need to know what it is to recognize when it is at work among us. We should pray for this for one another. Our praying for one another in relation to hope is future shaped. That great future God has prepared for us is to be known by us today, to be our source of comfort and hope and joy and peace today. Pray for one another that we may know the certain hope and the knowledge of that hope, which will inspire our faith and encourage our Christian living in these days. Pray for one another in relation to hope because it's present shaped. The power of God is not only at work for us in the future after our death. This hope that God has for us, yes, it waits for us in the future, but it rushes to meet us today. Christ is risen. Jesus is alive today. Jesus reigns right now. His kingdom has started, and the people of the king are pressing into the kingdom, and so the kingdom is growing day by day. We are to pray for one another that we would know these things in our lives. This is how we pray for the church, with our eyes fixed upon Jesus, knowing that in him we have a hope which will never fail. So then, pray for the saints. Pray for one another. Pray for the knowledge of God. Pray for an experience of God's hope to be real in our lives. Pray, and in our praying, God will answer and will strengthen his church, will build up our congregation, will strengthen our brothers and sisters. Pray that we will all grow in knowing God. This will be a comfort and a blessing to us. It will be a fresh thing which God does among us as we know God more and more. As we grow in knowing God, so we will grow in serving God and being a blessing to our neighbors and our friends and our family. While praying for the church might on the first hand sound like selfishness, it never is. Because as God answers our prayers for his church, so he blesses the nation and the city and our families. Pray that we will grow in a knowledge of hope, the hope which we have in Jesus. We all have weary days, but hope can lift our heads. Hope can chase away all our despair. It is hope which will whisper courage in our ear. It is hope by which we hold on to Jesus as we journey into tomorrow. Hope is one of the most powerful blessings God can pour into our lives. We are a people of hope. Jesus is not dead, but is alive today and reigns forever. Sin and death and hell shall never reign because Jesus is King, King over all, and his kingdom is coming and growing among us. We are not defeated. We reign together with our Savior. If we pray for one another that we might know this hope, do you think God will not answer? Do you not believe that we will begin to live in this hope? That God will transform his church, his congregation, our lives? Pray for the church. Pray for one another. Start praying now and don't stop praying till Jesus comes again. Don't stop praying till the glory of God covers the face of the earth. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for one another today and every day. Let's pray together. Father, we are humbled that you would use us and our prayers to strengthen your church and to build up your people. And yet we are excited at this call and this invitation of yours, and we want to be used by you to do great things for the glory of your name. Strengthen us to pray for your church. Answer those prayers and build your church. Grow your people among us. And grow us into your people more and more. Hear us, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.